And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Robin and your big sister, Sydney, are you listening in Squamish? All right. We have a story that goes there, too. Perhaps New York or New Jersey, Wyoming, California. Soon those folks are going to be right here in the studio with me. And wherever you are in the world, MJ up in Alaska, and of course San Jose, Costa Rica. It's time for Arts Live and Local on this rain. It's been a very exciting day today. Highs are near 55, though, so who cares? It's nice and green with all that rain. Breezy with 15 miles per hour. Gusts as high as 25. Tonight, showers likely, mainly before 11. And Saturday, yes, just in time for the Pride Parade, partly sunny with a high near 60. And Sunday, mostly sunny. So partly sunny means that the rest of it is just clouds, because it didn't mention showers, rain, piddly-puddly, or anything like that. Good. We're happy. And the world in our world is good. But we're sending out the show. Well, first, I want to let you know that Arts Live and Local is brought to you in part by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, wholesaling fresh roasted coffees since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the old Finnish meat market, with Three Cups Coffee House up front, espresso, coffee, homemade baked goods, Wi-Fi, and gifts open every day. So I'm dedicating this show and the arts and the music to all those in need of healing of any kind, and especially to our very dear friends, Steve Einhorn and Kate Power, who are stuck in Ireland, and there could be worse places to be stuck for sure, but we need to be sending those healing wishes their way. If you want to know more about that, give me a call after the show. Refuah Shlema. Thanks for being here, folks. Here's Steve and Kate.
Barbershop, where I used to get my hair cut. Old Frank is dead and gone. Never more to clip and comb. Free bubble gum. Bazooka Joe is on the run. Tootsie Roll Pop, I don't care. Crunchy green stuff in my hair. My pompadour is nice and curly. Gotta find me a pretty little girl. Jelly donuts and crumb cake too. Five in a bag, just a nickel. I remember one sweet time in the bakery window, how it did shine. A lap steel guitar, you know the kind. Three chrome plates in a case so fine. Not to mention the matching amp. Hank Williams was still the champ. Flapping a penny in seconds flat, stealing candy, drinking pop. Laughed so hard I could not stop. An old dad muskrat trap. Only thing I caught was a big old rat. I skinned a tack to a 2x4. Don't need to do that one anymore. Look, Ma, a pelt.
We're looking for more of that laughter and good music, and most of all, healing and good health. For Steve and to Kate, lots of love. And what's the best way to do your healing? Of course, is to indulge in the arts, because we all know art heals and art saves lives. And art is so much bigger than what some people think of it. And my first guests are here to show how this works. And Eva Lantala, I'm not sure how you say that. How do you pronounce your last name, Eva?
If you say it the way it's intended, it's Lantala.
And
it's
do you
Eva.
I was going to say, and do you say Eva? Because it's spelled E-E-V-A.
Well, it's Finnish.
Ah.
Yeah, they have a lot of double vowels, and the pronunciation is different.
But I've never seen that one. I've seen double A's, double this and that. But okay, Eva Lantala.
Yes.
Okay, that does sound
really
more
nicely
Finnish.
Done, yes. Carol.
I am an honorary Finn here at the Kaleva in Astoria. But if I forget, correct me later. Eva is the proprietor at Dragon Fire Gallery, the fabulous gallery in Cannon Beach, where you can lose yourself for hours just walking around and spending time in front of all of the different parts. But often she has part of the gallery set aside, at least when I've been there. Maybe it's been at festivals, maybe it's all the time, I'm not sure. For benefits, for sharing the money that comes in with, I gather, your great passion, which is the environment and the ecology. Is that fair to say?
That's very fair to say, Carol.
Yeah.
Yes. We have a section in the gallery called Wild, and for several years now, we've been raising money for a few different local nonprofits, including some that are a part of the festival we're going to talk about. But it's brought new life and a real passion to me. I feel like I can't do enough to help preserve what we have here, which is amazing.
Well, and for me, I love the idea. Somebody comes in, maybe a tourist, maybe a local, comes in to, quote, look at art and gets sucked right in. And the next thing you know, they're learning about the community, the environment, and so much more. And in order to make that even bigger, Eva has decided to put on a festival, which will be benefiting five local organizations. The festival is happening in September, but we wanted to bring you the information. So, well, I'll let her tell you all about that. But that brings my other guest in, and that would be Angela Benton. Pretty straightforward, eh?
Straightforward, girl.
Okay. Like my name, Carol Newman, Angela Benton. And then we have a beautiful song. And Angela, what is your role with the Friends of Haystack Rock?
I'm the board chair of the Friends of Haystack Rock. I've been with them for several years. And it's a terrific group stationed out of Cannon Beach, Oregon.
Now, I was getting confused because most people, or many people, know Haystack Rock. As a matter of fact, I think any calendar that has a picture of Oregon has either Mount Hood or Haystack Rock. Those are the two iconic photos out of, and people don't know where it is, but they know what it is. So, or they think they do. Why does Haystack Rock need friends?
Well, Haystack Rock is home to a wide variety of intertidal animals and birds. Birds in particular, this time of year, they nest there and then they head back out to sea, like the tufted puffin. It's just there from April to August, has babies, and then heads back out. So it's really an important place. Black oyster catchers. There's many species. I asked one time how many there are, and I don't even know. We get a lot of visitors. Those visitors love the rock. We want them to have a great time, but we also want to respect the environment and the species that live there.
So are there critters on the rock all year round? Yes.
Yes, there are critters on the rock all year round. Even in the winter, if you go down there, you'll still see mussels, chitons, sea stars, lots of activity. Different types of birds, but certainly the rock is alive year round.
And people are allowed to go near the rock, but not on it? Or how does that work? That's
correct. It's a protected, both the Marine Garden and the rock are protected. There's a variety of organizations involved in that at the federal level. Mm. But one of our partner organizations, the Haystack Rock Awareness Program, which is run by the city of Cannon Beach.
Oh.
Those are the folks with the red truck. They are down there during low tide many months of the year to make sure folks have a great experience, but that we also protect the animals that call it home.
Okay, and you folks obviously work together.
We partner with them, yes,
Cannon
we do.
Cannon Beach is way too small.
Yes, we do.
So, Ava, you chose Friends of Haystack Rock, or how did you choose in order to work for this Earth and Ocean Arts Festival? Why don't you give us an overview of the festival and then who's involved and what you need?
Okay, thanks, Carol. You know, this was really conceived. We were having a meeting, the Cannon Beach Gallery Group, of which there are 12 members,
mm-hmm.
and we were having a meeting discussing creating a new art festival. And my being so passionate about what there was and feeling like, do we really need another one? I said, I will be on board for another art festival if it's a fundraiser for the environment. And much to my absolute delight, everybody agreed.
Great.
And so the gallery owners they're very passionate about the environment. We all know how lucky we are to live in mm-hmm. this most incredibly beautiful place mm-hmm. and to have a business and to be able to thrive within it, and we really want to give back.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be responsible in how we conduct the festival and what we're supporting. And so it was decided that for the first inaugural year, we would support the Friends of Haystack Rock, the Friends of Falcon Cove Marine Reserve, North Coast Land Conservancy, Sea Turtles Forever, and the Wildlife Center of the North Coast.
I'm just jotting down. What was the turtles? Ah, thank you. I got a cheat sheet here, folks. Sea Turtles Forever. I've heard of that, but I don't really know what that is. We know, of course, we hear right here on KMUN, we've heard from folks from the North Coast Land Conservancy, which is an amazing group, and the Wildlife Center of the North Coast as well, which is right here. Much closer to Astoria, actually, than to, oh my goodness, boy, you've got all kinds of good stuff. Okay, but I'm going to, since it's radio, rather than my trying to read this aloud, mm-hmm. why don't you tell us about, for example, Sea Turtles Forever?
This was founded by Mark Ward, I think it's close to 20 years ago now. He's out of Seaside. And he was in Costa Rica and started getting involved with turtle egg conservation. 99% of turtle eggs were being poached, considered a delicacy. And so he started getting involved with there being night patrols and educating in the schools and educating the poachers, having poachers paid to conserve the eggs instead of...
Here or in Costa Rica?
In Costa Rica, actually.
Right.
And there was a big breeding ground in that place. So that's how he started. But one year, because they would go back annually, one year he discovered that there was this dead turtle they did an autopsy on, and it was full of plastic. And so he started becoming very passionate about finding out about the plastics and started realizing our local beaches are being covered in microplastic and that for some marine life, like the turtles, they see them floating on the water and they look attractive mm-hmm. and they're eating them and mm-hmm. eventually it kills them.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has developed a microstatic screen for filtering the beaches, and he works quite heavily in Fort Stevens, and because there are certain beaches that collect more microplastic. Cannon Beach is one, Manzanita is one, Fort Stevens. They get a lot of plastic just because of the way the water currents are. So I started raising money for him a few years ago, and so I've learned a lot about his work, and he's amazing.
So I see there is a website, seaturtlesforever.org. What is your website, Angela?
It's friendsofhaystackrock.org.
There you go. These are pretty simple. Let's try for the next ones. I'm also thinking how interesting. I gave a shout out to San Jose, Costa Rica. I have no idea that this was because I was just there in February and
you were
not doing this kind of work, but citizen diplomacy kind of thing. So the other one that we don't hear of much and is Friends of Falcon Cove.
Friends of Falcon Cove Marine Reserve. That became a protected marine reserve, I think it was just in the last about 3 years. And it's a 20-square-mile area of the ocean off of Short Sands in Oswald West State Park and goes north to the headland of Falcon Cove. Beautiful, beautiful area. If you haven't been there, I'm sure you've been to Oswald West State Park, Carol.
Yeah, of course. Can't live
and here. So it's given them a real opportunity. It's like a living laboratory to find out more about the waters there and to protect the species that are there. They do a lot of education. There's also volunteer opportunities and seabird monitoring.
Each one of these organizations is rich, and it's amazing because, well, I guess it's not amazing. We live on the Pacific Ocean and the Columbia River, and we're here in open country. Why would we not have so much work to do? Unfortunately, the pristine nature of the area is long since gone. So it's wonderful that there are human beings who understand that and are dedicated to trying to equalize and make better. So, Ava, what is your... Was your background in art or in ecology or what?
No, I actually, when the art gallery was opened, which is 18 years ago now, I had no art background, really. I was actually making some jewelry, but it was, you know, fairly simple kind of things. But I knew what I liked. I was passionate about beautiful things. And the partner I opened it with, she was an artist. And so I kind of counted on her to have that sort of covered, and I ran on enthusiasm, and I learned a lot, and I'm more passionate about the arts now than I was even then.
Sure.
It's been a wonderful way to make a living.
Absolutely. So tell us what you need from our listeners to make this first annual Earth and Ocean Arts Festival happen and thrive?
Well, I think, you know, we're really on a great path. We do get some TAC funding for this, and we are doing things like selling these wonderful T-shirts and our tote bags. Mm-hmm. All the funds go towards putting on the festival. And this is the first time the gallery group is actually going to be putting on a ticketed event. Mm-hmm. And it's just $50 for the weekend. There's a lot of amazing art that's going to be taking place there. We have a dance troupe coming from New York called the Artichoke Dance Company. They're art activists in the realm of particularly bringing awareness and change to plastic pollution.
Wow.
They're going to be completely amazing to see. And
I'm sure there will be music.
There will be music, and there's going to be land art created outside. All of the galleries have their own special exhibitions going on as well.
So are all the galleries... Is this... I have to say, I am, and I've said it before, I am so impressed with the Cannon Beach Gallery Group. One rarely sees people work together so beautifully for... the spring unveiling, plein air, and the stormy weather festival, where the entire, now it is a tiny town, yes, but the entire town with all these galleries pitches in, and it's a beautiful thing. And of course, It's wonderful to attend. I love going to those. So this, I love what you did. You said, sure, I'll do that, but only if. And
well,
perfect, and
you
know
everybody
what?
Everybody wanted it. Was
right,
great. And we're all making changes ourselves. Like, all changes are so important, and we're being, like I said, supporting the whole thing about ecotourism. We gave up plastic cups for wine receptions. We are, if you go to the festival, you get this recycled cotton tote bag. You get a wine glass, a stemless wine glass inside for the receptions. Flyers are on recycled paper and soy ink. I mean, there's so many ways that you can make changes that, in the long run, do a lot.
And raise awareness
to teach others about the same thing.
Now, are the organizations, for example, Angela, would you be at the festival?
Yes, we'll be at the festival. We're going to participate in a kickoff on Friday night, and then we're in the planning stages to figure out what the other places of the festival will be engaged at. But, you know, we want education, we want engagement, and we're really thrilled that the gallery group approached us as nonprofits. Mm-hmm. Gives us an opportunity to work together as well. So we're doing some work behind the scenes to figure out how we're going to contribute to make this just an extraordinary event.
And it's happening, am I right, September 20 to 22nd. Mm-hmm. So is there a website? Now, we won't mention prices anymore, but is there a website people can go to?
You can go to cbgallerygroup.com.
Oh, okay. Right.
And you can help support the festival, one, by buying tickets, by or by buying T-shirts, tote bags. We are also really looking for engagement from within the North Coast community. If you are a land artist, or you are an artist that would like to try and construct a piece of land art, which it's ephemeral. You're using nothing but natural materials found in nature. So think stones or driftwood or, you know, anything that you gather in nature to construct a piece of art.
Right.
And there's many, it's sort of like in the Andy Goldsworthy as an inspiration. He's a very well-known person in the land art community that started back in the 70s,
okay.
I think. It was a really big thing.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with the term land art. So if somebody is listening, an artist, for example, or someone who is involved in this whole issue and wants to see how it intersects with making art, where would a piece they created go? Where would it be?
Well, it can be constructed on the beach is the likely place.
Okay.
Or it could be in one of the parks. You know, most likely it's going to be outdoors.
So they would be constructing it as during the festival.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Cool.
And there's going to be some interactive dance with the dancers with the land art after it's been created at the end of the day, Saturday. And what I encourage is if you want to be involved, to please contact me at Dragonfire Gallery. Email at dragonfiregallery.com. And we can explain more about what is needed. There will also be, we have a need for three canoes. If anybody's able to lend us canoes for the Saturday of that day, they're just needed for a short.
What size?
A short little while. That will hold 2 to 3 people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Have to be anything big, or if it's a bigger one that will hold 7 people. We need to transport 7 people a short distance down Akola Creek. And then if you want to volunteer for the festival itself, please contact me.
So the best way, again, is email. And I'm not using that as a verb. I'm using that as the noun. This is Ava's email address. Email at dragonfiregallery.com.
That's right.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful.
And can I say one last thing, Carol? When with the event pass that costs just $50, 50% of that.
Do prices.
Okay, let me just say that 50% of that automatically goes to the nonprofit fund, and there are other things that are being done to raise money throughout the festival, And if you go on to Dragonfire Gallery's website, you will see a special painting that was created of the Rainforest Reserve that the North Coast Land Conservancy is preserving, 3,500 acres that connects with that magical Falcon Cove Marine Reserve. That's up for raffle, and all funds goes there.
Right, there's going to be a fabulous... Now, this is all described... Will this be described at cbgallerygroup.com?
Yes. Yes, and there will be more things added there. But the painting itself, you have to go to dragonfiregallery.com. That is just our thing. And other galleries will be doing their own special things as well.
What a blast. This is going to be great. And folks, get in touch with Ava directly and then listen to KMUN for updates through the summer. Thank you so much for coming in, Ava Lantala and Angela Benton.
Thank you so much, Carol.
Friends of Haystack Rock. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
And I have a piece of music for you from Sofia Talvik, Swedish.
Take me home to the sea, to the waves and the breeze, where the salt grinds my teeth. Take me home. You found me before.
Sophia Talvik from her, I think that is a brand new album. Actually, this is the single from the Coming Up album. And she is Swedish, singing in the folk style and much more. She's got some beautiful music. I was listening on the web. She is going to be at the Cannon Beach History Center and Museum, or Museum and Center, obviously in Cannon Beach, which is where my last guests were from. That is happening Thursday, the 13th of June. So you can check her out. And that's Sophia Talvik. Wonderful. Well, speaking of wonderful, I have... He's laughing, but it's true, and he knows it, because I've been following Sterling Gorsuch, for many years, because even though he's only... How old are you now?
I usually don't say, but I'm 27.
Yeah, you made it to 27.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
This is good. But you have been involved in the local art scene for many years, and I think you were working at Riversea for a while, and you've been showing your art all over, including at the Cannon Beach History Museum that I just mentioned.
Exactly,
And I, for full disclosure, I am a fan and an owner of some of Sterling's work.
A collector.
A collector. There you go. Oh, God, that's scary. But it's true, because I love what he does. And if you are familiar with it, I'm sure you do too. And if you're not, it's time for you to become familiar. Sterling has a show coming up at Riversea Gallery, and it opens tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Wow. How did this happen? The time is just going so fast. Tomorrow evening is Astoria Art Walk. And so many of the galleries will be open from 5 to 8, including, of course, Riversea Gallery, with music by Peter Hinsbeek and John Orr. And Sterling and his friend Kelly McConnell, who is also a printmaker, will be opening their show in the big room. Now, this show is not just prints, though. Am I right?
That's true, yes.
What have you got for us?
So over the last year or two, I started experimenting with painting a lot more, oil painting, in a way to try to expand on what I was doing with my prints. Printmaking is definitely still the focus of what I do. Mostly you'll see in the show monoprints and lino cuts and sort of iterations of those two things.
I'm going to ask you, you can finish your sentence, but I don't want to forget mine. I'm going to ask you to explain briefly what that means, because people,
good question.
Lino cut, collage mixed in with it all. What are we talking about?
Right. So, I like to think of them as works on paper, art on paper. They're processes that use a printmaking press, transferring, I would say, information from a plate, some sort of substrate, onto paper. So it's like a stamp, you could think. With the step, like painting, you would just be hitting the canvas or something. This is adding another step, where you're putting the paint or ink onto a plate, and then running that through a printmaking press, and then that gets transferred onto the paper. So it's sort of like a painting using the printmaking press.
Okay, there's one problem. I have lots of plates in my house.
I know exactly what you're saying.
They aren't going to work, Sterling.
So this is a very flat plate.
Yeah, and what's on it? Is it just paint?
It's what I use is an oil-based ink. A printing ink. So you could think of like lithographs, which would be sort of, like they'd call a fine art print. It's basically using the same materials as that, except the way that I'm doing it is I'm not creating additions. I'm kind of making more of one of a kind pieces that are essentially on their own. There's no other ones like it. And
you do one print, and then what happens? That's it?
That's it, yeah. And so the lino cuts that I use, the carved images that I use, become sort of more of just a piece of the finished print. So whereas I used to make additions of a lino cut or a multicolored wood block or something, now it's the lino cut is kind of more of being just kind of one part of this more painterly
process.
Approach of monotype, monoprint. We could have a whole hour-long debate about the difference between those, but just come to the show at Riversea. You will see it.
That would be the best thing. Now, what about your adding in, what does it mean to say collage in all this mix?
Great question. So I've really fallen in love with putting different types of paper onto each other and seeing how they work almost like a filter in photography and colors that kind of come through these thin rice paper and vegetable fiber papers. And so almost I think all of the pieces that I chose for this show incorporate different kinds of these lighter papers on top of each other to create these sort of third tones. So to speak, and that was something that was that I learned a lot from with Royal Nebuchadnezzar and also Yuji Hiratsuka down at Oregon State University.
You study art when you were at Oregon State?
I did. Yeah, I got my BFA and was the teaching assistant for Yuji, who is an amazing printmaker in his own right.
And of course, Royal Nebuchadnezzar was at Clatsop Community College and. I would say gets credit for many of the local printmakers. And now, of course, our local college gallery is named after him, which we were so deeply sorry to lose him, but we didn't lose his art because there are so many others. Now, the other thing that is resonant with this show is your interest in now, the name of the show is Above the Earth, Below the Clouds, but your interest, I believe, has almost always been involved with nature.
You know, I've thought about that a lot, and I think that is true. I think I've always been really interested in the natural cycles, even when I used to be interested in astrology and things of that nature.
Yes, so
it's sort of like
calendar.
A different, it's so the calendar, right? And all that. And it as I think about it, it's all about just kind of becoming more aware and attuned to just the natural way of things unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it affects us as human beings is just fascinating to me. And so kind of using landscape and places that I really know, it's sort of like if I grew up in Utah, it's like the terrain would be completely different, but I think there would be a very similar kind of love of the land speaking through the work.
Mm-hmm. And it definitely speaks. There's no doubt about it. Your partner in this show, Above the Earth, Below the Clouds, which again opens tomorrow evening, 5 p.m. at Riversea Gallery, 1160 Commercial, is Kelly McConnell. And she'll be doing, or she has done, linoleum cut prints. Is that her? Did you meet her in school, or is she from here, or what?
You know, I think three or four years ago, I was in the alcove at Riversea, and Kelly was in the main gallery. And I think it was then that we became aware of each other's work. And I just think we each have a very similar way of this inclination to just love the place that we live and want to document it in some graphic visual way. And so we've just stayed in touch over the years, and when it was time to start thinking about a show, it was like a perfect kind of combination.
Oh, sounds terrific. Excellent.
And another thing I should say is the fact that she's working in lino cut primarily, although using it in a very different way than I do. I think that's one of the fun things about this show is that we're literally using the same raw materials for our art.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really like doing anything different from a technical standpoint. And yet because of our way of thinking about how we want our work to be created, it's completely different.
That's
great.
And
that's what's so cool about it. It's like this, it all came from this same cork material that we carve into.
And it also gives people the understanding that you too can take some materials and create, and
Absolutely.
It doesn't need to look like anyone else's. It's your own. And you've been doing art since you were how old?
Oh, yeah. That's a loaded question. It's been all along the way. I've always been encouraged by my family, but yeah. I have to say, over the years, it's been not just my family, but the community that I've made art in, and and just that kind of community engagement with the work is really what's been like the kerosene on this fire.
Well, that's really great to hear, because this is a very strong arts community, very strong arts and culture, and
no
very
doubt.
Supportive. So I think that's a beautiful message to give.
And so. And also River Sea Gallery, I have to give a big shout out, because I mean this is my third show with them, and all along the way, River Sea has always given me full artistic freedom for what I do, and they've never said do this, do that. It's always been just whatever you want to do. It's your show.
Fantastic.
Go for it. And I find that to be really inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah. So come see Sterling. Come meet Sterling. If you can, come tomorrow evening between 5 and 8. You'll meet him. You'll be there, I'm sure.
I will be there, yeah.
But if you can't come then, come anytime. The show is up till July 9th. Big congratulations, Sterling.
Thank you. Ooh, okay. I so appreciate it.
Can't wait to see the show.
Thank you.
Okay. Folks, we've got some more music, and I've got two more guests, so stay tuned. Cal Scott. The fabulous Cal Scott is going to be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach tomorrow evening.
The box was carved in 95, and it was bought by a farmer as a gift for his wife. And she played it in the parlor by the blue gas light, while the farmer and the children sang. She learned old Aunt Rhody and Home Sweet Home, and she played till the kids had kids of their own. But she sold that box when the well went dry, with 100 tunes inside. A cafe singer named Angeline was a big sensation in the Paris scene, but she gave it all up to follow her dreams and the heart of a young G.I. Well, they settled down to a Midwest life, and she bought a mandolin from a farmer's wife. She got a job singing on the radio, where she even met Bill Monroe. There's a thousand stories in the cardboard box. You hear them singing when the rosewood talks. Every soul that sang when the eight strings rang left a song in the cardboard box. Boy with a country heart fell into trouble right from the start. So Grandma Angeline stepped in, yeah, and she gave him that mandolin. And she taught him a tune from the French cafe. Ah, but when he heard some bluegrass, he had to play. Took a few good chords and he was on his way. And he swears it saved his life. There's a thousand stories in the cardboard box. You can hear them singing when the rosewood talks. Every soul that sang when the eight strings rang left a song in the cardboard box. Well, that box wound up in an old pawn shop, where it hung in the window by a shotgun stock. It caught my eye and I had to stop. Oh. when there's no one home. I sing to myself, but I'm not alone. I hear old and broken home sweet home, a little French musette, an old chanson, even some Bill Monroe. There's a thousand stories in the cobweb box. You can hear them singing when the rosewood talks. Every soul that sang when the eight strings rang left a song in the cobweb box. A thousand stories in the cobweb box. You can hear them singing when the rosewood.
Yeah, I heard Cal Scott sing this song when he first came out with this every album, and I got a copy for the station to play. It's 2012. I've been his fan ever since, and he is going to be right here in our area at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach tomorrow evening, 7 p.m. You should check in with them, though. They sell out sometimes. Well, speaking of selling out, I have a man in the studio with me who has never sold out. And that would be our good friend, Marco Davis.
Hello.
Hey, Marco. I'm going to take a picture just so you'll believe me, folks, what Marco is wearing right now.
My bathrobe, yep. Because I was shaving my face, getting ready for this evening. And I'm like, it's 3:35. I'm supposed to be waving at Carol right now at the station. So I just ran down here.
That's what he was supposed to be doing. Yes. But tonight, tell us what is happening.
Well, tonight we kick off Pride officially with our Cocktail with the Queens and Gala at the Liberty Theater, the cocktail parties. Well, it's a champagne one this year. It starts at 6, and then at 7:30, the doors open for the Liberty with our gala starting at 8.
Now, I'm not sure what kind of tickets are left for what, but you can go to libertyastoria.org.
Correct.
And check it out, because the...
Or just show up at the box office, too.
Would that work for the champagne party as well?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the champagne party is in the McTavish Room, and then the gala, that's spelled G-A-Y-L-A,
yeah.
is in the big theater. So for sure there will be tickets for that.
Yes.
And you can get them at the door. But do come early so that you can get your tickets and get yourself seated. I will for sure be there. As a matter of fact, I'm afraid I'll be in black. But
okay.
I'll try to dress it up because I'll be ushering.
That's all we can do.
That's it. But you will not be in black.
No, I'll be in all kinds of sparkly colors.
Right. And the reason folks may like to go, this is a benefit for the Lower Columbia Q Center.
This is our major fundraiser that we do of the year, and the gala is actually the main ticketed event. Everything else that we do is free for the community, is our kind of a way to say thank you for all the support that we get throughout the year.
And 2 days ago, someone local who knows what's going on in this town said to me, there's a Q Center here? And I said, hello. And she said, where is it? And I said, Marco's going to be on the radio Friday. Tell folks.
Well, our office is at the Astoria Armory, which is at 1636 Exchange Street. And every Friday evening, we have open office hours from 5 to 9 during the skate night that's held at the Armory.
Nice.
But we do outreach throughout the region.
And the website?
Is lcqcastoria.org.
Easy. LCQC.
Astoria.org.
Okay, so that's the kickoff tonight.
Yes, and then tomorrow we have the parade, which starts at 11.
That's why the sun is coming out.
I know.
The way.
I do my annual go to the beach and do my rain dance,
okay.
and beg for some sunshine.
Right.
And the forecast has changed. It's supposed to be glorious tomorrow.
Yes,
so
it will. Well, it'll be glorious no matter what.
No matter what. Well, the thing is, we need the rain to get the rainbows.
That's
you know,
true.
I've been bumming because we haven't had so many rainbows this year.
No, and we will be getting
We had a lot this morning.
Yes.
And we were down there at 8 setting up for the block party, which starts right after the parade, which starts at 11. And that begins at the foot of 12th Street this year because they're still doing the work on the waterfront.
Okay, so that's for
yes.
If you want to be in the parade, show up at the foot of 12th Street. quarter to 11, 11.
Registrate. If you're not registered, registration is at 10.
10.
And then the parade starts at 11.
Okay.
And it's a short walk this year, so that's great. It walks right into the block party, which is at the Barbie Center.
Which is about 20 seconds. So if you don't come on the parade, you can still come on over to the block party.
Yes.
And it is a blast.
It's so much fun.
Oh, it's fabulous. And I should say KMUN will be broadcasting
live.
The music.
Yes, it's so exciting. This is the second year. Yes.
Yep. Wonderful. And then?
And then we have Art Walk through downtown.
Yep.
And Audrey will be doing something. She's the AVA Artist of the Month.
Right.
And so she'll be doing a show. And then Sid DeLuca is also represented as well.
Okay. Nice.
And then that evening we have the dance party.
And I think Kala has Paul.
Yes, Kala has Paul.
Paul Soriano.
Yes.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. Yes.
And then we have the dance party at the AAMC starting at 9, mm-hmm. which is all ages and free.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday morning, there's the service at the Universalist Unitarian Church at the Performing Arts Center.
Right.
Followed by the brunch that's being hosted in the Masonic Temple.
Right. I think that's a potluck.
It's a potluck, yes. And then 3 o'clock on Sunday, Daylight will be reading at Beach Books in Seaside.
And Daylight may have a very similar voice
to mine.
To what you're hearing right now. So this is the weekend in Astoria. June is Pride Month, and it is celebrated different times of the month all over the country. But right here in Astoria, this is it. So come on out to the Liberty this evening, and then check it out. And I'm sure it's on the... LC, by the way, stands for Lower Columbia, LCQCAstoria.org website, I'm sure the schedule.
And then it's in the Coast Weekend, it's in the Hipfish Monthly.
Right. So check it all out and do join people and have fun. Dress up. Ruth Bader Ginsburg will be there. She's in the back of my car right now. Thank you so much
walking
to Raimi.
In the parade.
She will be walking in the parade, of course. She asked to join this community. Now, if it rains, she may not come. But it's
we
not
going to
rain.
It's not going to rain.
No, it's not. So let's forget about that. Marco, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for having
me. We will see you very soon
at
the Liberty Theater.
Thank you for having
me. Okay. And you are welcome to...
vacate the premises.
Right. Marco, by the way, has his own radio show right here on Coast Community Radio. So you can tune in to Over the Rainbow.
Third Wednesday of the month at 8:30.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And now I'm going to let him go, and I am going to quietly switch, maybe not so quietly, switch to my next guest, who is Jan Bono, with a brand new book, the fourth in her series. Be careful, it's very fragile. Jan, well, I've known her for many years, more through theater, but she has been busily writing. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you, Carol. Thanks for squeezing me in here.
And a happy birthday, Jan.
Hey, I wish that your listeners could see my hair.
She is dressed to the hilt. Let me tell you, she should be going to the festival this evening. Tell us what I just heard you say. You went to your hairdresser and said what?
I went to my hairdresser with the blouse that I'm wearing, which is purple, blue, and teal. And I said, can you match this?
And she did.
Yes, she did.
And Jan looks gorgeous.
Thank you.
And it is a big birthday in her life. So she is
I'm 65. We can say it out loud.
There you go. rather you say it than I. It's okay. I'll be
I'm celebrating. I'm on Medicare. Yay.
That's right. And yes, so this new book... First of all, we should tell people that you are going to be sharing the book. Tell us where and when.
I am. Tomorrow is the official book release for book number 4 in the Sylvia Avery Mystery Series. It's called Hook, Line, and Sinker, and I will be at Old Town Coffee Cafe. Some people call that Old Town Trading Post. That's okay.
That's why I got confused, because I saw two different places.
And she has one name on the door and one name on her menus, so she's a little confused, too.
Okay.
And so I'll be there from 10 a.m. until 1, and as long as there's still a line of people who want to buy books, I'll stick around.
So where is this now?
It's 108 mm-hmm. North 1st Street, which is at the stoplight in Owako. It's kitty corner from the...
Okay. It's right on
from the drugstore. Yeah, it's right there at the stoplight.
So the Old Town whatever. And Jan will be there. Now, the name of the book is Hook, Line, and Sinker. And
that's
I have to tell you that I'm not a big reader of thrillers, not even of mysteries. I get scared. And I don't have much patience. I usually go to the end to see what happened. And certainly romance novels, I just don't have time, although they are fun. So I started to read this book, and I thought, I don't know, Jan. Well, it didn't take long, and I fell hook, line, and sinker.
Thank you so much.
I did. Yeah, well, thank you. I stayed up all night reading it. That was the problem.
Well, then maybe you're a closet cozy person.
Yeah, well.
You know what a cozy is?
Well, tell people, because I had to look it up.
Okay, cozy is a very specific genre it's a subdivision of mystery. A cozy has no graphic violence. It has no explicit sex scenes, and it has no obscene language, which some people say, what good is it? But what it does have is an amateur sleuth in a small town who works with the police department, has a quirky cast of characters, and in my case, I'm heavy on the humor part of it. Murder, She Wrote is a cozy, but they don't do a lot of humor in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I should say also you have a lot of allusions to the local community.
I do.
And so for those of us who live around here, it's even funnier because you recognize places.
The setting for the entire mystery series is the Southwest Washington Peninsula. You might call it the Long Beach Peninsula. In the book, there's a map, and it's the North Beach Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll recognize some of the things. One of the things I was very proud of is the community of Iwako, I call Unity, because in 1865, that was what Iwako was called.
Oh, interesting.
It was the end of the Civil War, and they went, Unity is unifying the country.
Well, and then you have the belly dancers.
I do, the geriatric belly dancing troupe, who are the Merry Widows.
There you go. And it is, and there is a murder. Mm. However, we don't get the graphic details.
Nope.
What hooked me was I really had no idea who done it. Now, when I was a kid, we used to watch Perry Mason, and my mother used to come into the room in the middle of the show, and she'd just watch for about 30 seconds, and she'd say, he did it. And we were furious because she was always right. We never understood how she figured it out.
One of the things I had most fun with in this particular book, and it is number 4 of the series, in this one, I threw, I think, 3 surprises in the last 15 pages.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it tied the loose ends up.
It was great. So Hook, Line, and Sinker, a Sylvia Avery mystery. You got to come and check out the book.
Please do.
Find out who Sylvia Avery is, the young woman who hangs out with all these old women. Old meaning like Jan and me.
Sometime when we have a lot of time, I'll tell you the story of how I picked that particular name.
Okay.
People who have sung the song Sylvia's Mother may figure out what her last name is, and I used it.
Oh, gosh. This is great. Jan's website is Jan Bono, that's B-O-N-O, books.com.
And my new and improved website.
And you have lots of information on it.
It just got online. And, if you're not able to get down to Iwako tomorrow, go online and order it.
There you go. Jan, congratulations.
Thank you.
On your newest book, on your 65th birthday, on joining Medicare, which we all need to have Medicare for all
we
folks.
Do.
And then, and thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Okay.
Always appreciate talking to you.
Thanks
have a lot
for
of fun.
This book. It was great.
You're welcome.
Okay. Folks, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what else is going on really, really fast. I'm going to, in the background, have a little music from Ben Hunter and Joe Siemens. They're playing on Saturday at Waikiki Beach, which is Cape Disappointment, and that's at 7 o'clock, and then they will be here in Astoria on Sunday at the Fort George. They are fabulous, and you need to find out more about them. And they, Joe, of course, is local, and I can't say enough good stuff about them. They've done a lot of Woody Guthrie stuff as well.
We're gonna have a good time when we all get there. I'm gonna sit down on my God's door. We're gonna sit down on the banks of the river.
So I hope to see you at one or the other of the places. tonight. Rain Magazine in 1 hour, 5 o'clock. I think actually it's 5:30, but I'm not sure. You better check it out. Rain Magazine, third floor of Towler Hall at the college. And we talked about Pride. Manzanita Market opens 5 to 8. The Voodoo Room is starting the Goonies celebration, which is happening this weekend. The Voodoo Room at 6 o'clock, and it's going all weekend. Il Waco has their first Friday art walk from 4 to 7. Tomorrow, the Sou'wester has our good friend Lindsay Bones, taxidermy opening art reception, and Astoria Art Walk, including the Lightbox with their 10th anniversary. A big mazel tov to them for their having their Plastic Fantastic show to celebrate. And, all over town, McVarish and River Sea we talked about, and Kala, and, of course, well, I'm not going to name them because you're going to come on downtown and check them out. And the Seaside Library, Butterflies Drawings, and Astoria Library, An American Story, Race, Amity, and the Other Tradition, and the NCRD, the Albatross Film on Ocean Plastics, and the NCRD on Sunday, Riverside Drive promo video filming, Long Beach Tom Petty Tribute Band, and Kala is featuring Ben Rosenblum Trio. You will be hearing some of their music. That's Thursday evening at 7:30. And at the same time, Sophia Talvik at the Cannon Beach History Museum. Thanks, folks, for being here. KMUN Astoria, KTCB.